Welcome to the EMS Gives Life podcast. I'm Rob Lawrence, and joining me today is my co-host, Christine Fichter. How are you, Christine?
Fine, thanks, Rob. How are you?
Good, good. So we have a very special guest to kick us off today. So, Christine, would you like to introduce Reed?
Sure, thanks. This is Reed Capel. He'll get to tell us a little bit more about himself and his story in a minute. Reed works as an EMT in Atlantic Health in New Jersey, and he's a longtime volunteer with his local first aid squad there. Reed came to my attention on social media. That's where I first learned about his story. And he is, unfortunately, in end-stage kidney failure, and he needs a kidney transplant to live. Reed's been on the transplant waiting list for more than 3 years, and with the current wait times in New Jersey, really a living organ donation is his only chance of survival. So this is really what EMS Gives Life is all about. EMS, helping EMS, is absolutely a priority for us. And we reached out to Reed to see how EMS Gives Life could help him out. So I've been happy to work with him for the last few months, and we're piecing together a kidney donor search campaign, which we're about to launch.
So before we get on to that, Christine Reed, why don't you tell us your backstory? So tell us how you got into EMS, how long you've been doing it, where are you? And, you know, we'll pick it up from there.
I moved to the area I'm in. I always had, when I was in high school, I joined the Mars Minutemen, which was a local first aid squad. But I never got to finish my EMT back then. And then when I moved to the area I'm in Mars County now, I live right across the street from the firehouse and first aid building. And my landlord is a firefighter and on the first aid squad. And he kind of got in my now wife's ear and said, get Reed to join, because he knew I really liked it. And it's obviously just become a passion, you know, a love to help people out.
And so how long did you spend on the streets?
I'm 10 years. Actually, tonight is my 10-year anniversary at our meeting tonight as a volunteer. And I think this is my 7-year anniversary with Atlantic, actually, now.
10 years today. So first of all, thank you very much for your service, yeah. And particularly
absolutely.
As a volunteer. That's, I'm sure, very much appreciated in your community. Is there going to be cake, or how are they playing it?
We're supposed to have a big meeting Wednesday for the 100th anniversary of the fire department and a party, but that just got canceled because of the wonderful COVID. We usually have snacks and stuff at our regular meeting, which is tonight. So I'll save you a piece of cake, Rob.
Yeah, save us a piece of cake. Yeah, we'll send it. We'll put the address in the email afterwards. So I'm sure we'd be delighted to see that. Sort of moving on, obviously, you've developed, you know, a health condition that's kept you sort of off the road, but still involved with your organization. Sort of give us the backstory of the history of coming up to needing a new organ.
Well, growing up, I had a lot of urinary tract infections and stomach aches, and nobody ever discovered anything. And when I was around 21, I kind of collapsed at where I was working because I had such bad stomach pains. And they did an exploratory surgery and discovered that where my kidney should be, there was a tumor. No cancer or anything like that, thank God. But, you know, as you know, people could live a long, healthy life with one kidney, but I guess I'm not that person. And I mean, I'm a fighter, so I'll keep fighting. My kidney function today, I got blood work back, is down to 7%, and I had my fistula put in last Tuesday in case I have to do dialysis, which in the reality I know is coming, but, you know, one day at a time.
That's the attitude, one day at a time. So we found you, EMS Gives Life, on social media. We connected. Christine, what has EMS Gives Life done so far with Reed?
So we're really just getting started with Reed, but one of the things that was important to us as an organization is that we were created for first responders by first responders, and we very much value the community as a whole, and we like the idea of EMS helping EMS. And so while we support donors, and that is our primary mission, helping Reed with a search for a kidney within the EMS community is very much consistent with what we do. So at this point, we've developed a website for him so that there's one place where everybody can go to find information about Reed or how to help him. we are ready and available to support any potential donors while they explore the option of becoming a donor or signing up to be Reed's donor. And we also are ready to connect potential donors with resources that both support their donation process and then provide protections for them personally, because donor safety and protection is number one. I know that's what Reed wants, and that's obviously what we want. So that's really where we're going. We're about to launch a bigger campaign for Reed Search through our social media and EMS and first responder connections. And this is an opportunity to have everyone meet Reed directly.
We'll mention this again at the end, but what is the website address to go and look at Reed's website that you've created?
So you can read more about Reed's story online at our website, emsgiveslife.org/Reed. And he spells Reed, R-E-I-D. And that's a place where not only you can read Reed's story, but you can also listen to this podcast. It'll be posted there. So in the future, if you want to hear what we've talked about today or share it, it'll be posted.
Reed, so what other avenues have you taken to get help and to find you a donor? Obviously, EMS Gives Life are fairly the new kids on the block, but what else have you done to kind of, you know, draw attention to your condition?
To bring more attention is the Facebook page is great that I have, but it gets repetitive out of all the thing, you know, of everything.
I think Reed's been very fortunate to have some other community members who are advocates and lay advocates. They are just people who care about this cause and helping people. And he's been fortunate enough to have a number of people step up on his behalf. And, EMS Lives Life doesn't want to take away from that, but just add to what's already been done to maybe get a broader reach. I think the reach for Reed so far has been really just local in New Jersey, because that's where the people he's been working with are from and know. And so I think what the EMS community can offer him is a broader reach across the country through different channels. So, you know, Reed's been on the transplant waiting list for 3 years now. And in New Jersey, it could even be 5 to 7 or longer. The wait could be for a deceased donor through the organ donation channels. It could easily be longer than 7 years. A living organ donation is really the channel that's going to save Reed's life.
So Reed, talk us through, potentially there could be a number of years before a donor comes along. So what do you as the patient have to do each day, each week, and each month to sustain yourself? What treatments are you having? What sort of regime do you have to live by?
It all started out with my nephrologist, Dr. Zennenberg, getting me to do the weight loss surgery, which I'm down almost 130 pounds. Part of that, one of the biggest parts of that has been changing my diet and being consistent with that. You know, you still treat yourself once in a while, but I really watch what I eat for the most part. Your diet and exercise is very big in keeping healthy. Like Dr. Zennenberg says, I'm one of his more healthier patients, because he even says that my kidney function, I should be sick by now. I mean, I feel great outside of needing a kidney.
And I think that's a lesson to anybody listening, that you've got to look after yourself, because in the days where you may feel ill or poorly, then that residual, I guess, strength is going to help you out. And obviously that's now standing you in good stead.
I think one of the things that struck me about Reed from the first conversation we had that probably leads most to him feeling well each day is his attitude. You know, he's got one kidney and it's down to 7% functioning. And I think many people, rightly so, would feel devastated by that. But his attitude is tremendous. And his commitment to being positive and moving forward is, you know, remarkable.
As Churchill once said, attitude is everything, and it's certainly something that I try and live my life by anyway.
It's only natural to get down about things, but somebody kicks you in the butt, or, you know, I got a family to support. I honestly love going to work. I wish I could be on the ambulance, but I'm doing my part, and, you know, I get up and go to work, and I have a good time at work. I have a great boss and great friends, and that keeps me motivated. I have an amazing support system. That's one of the most important things. You really find out who cares about you. And not that people don't care about you, but my wife says sometimes people don't know what to say. Between my family and the firehouse and work, I have an amazing support system, and that's one of the things that really honestly keeps me going.
Actually, that's a really good question, Reed, because when people find out that someone has a condition like they're up for a transplant, as you may have just said, they perhaps don't know what to say. So how do you break the ice with people?
It's funny. One of the nurses at work, Carrie, she had a medical issue a while back, and I said to her, I get so... Although I appreciate all the support, it becomes overwhelming when people, you get, you know, 20 people a day going, how you feeling? How you feeling? How you feeling? And it's, like I said, I appreciate it. She goes, come up with something quirky to say. So my one line is, well, I'm healthy outside of knee and kidney. And people look at me like, how do you joke about that? I go, you know, if I don't laugh at myself, can I laugh at, you know? So people start laughing after I say that.
And actually, I think humor is a great quality to have, to laugh, you know, at yourself and with others, as I always tell people, not laugh at others. And so it's pretty cool that you're able to do that. Once you've broken that ice, then are people then not asking you how you are so much, but just, you know, helping you get on doing with what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, what did they say? Laughter is the best medicine. So I'm always trying to find a good comedy show or a movie to watch, something that's going to make me laugh.
Reed, is there anything else that we need to know that we, you know, that we can tell other people, or things you'd like us to know about you or your condition, or, you know, or indeed, what can they do to help not just you, but others that need organs?
You know, I look at it that I like Christine, and I said to Christine, I want to be there in the future, obviously not to just help myself. I want to be there to help other people through this process. Because especially now that I know the whole process and how things go, and I want people to know there's always support, and there's always somebody that'll watch your back. You know, there's always somebody there that's going to be willing to help you out and talk to you, you know.
Well, I think that's where EMS Gives Life comes in, but also EMS, as I keep telling anyone that will listen to me drone on, that EMS isn't a job, it's actually a way of life, and it also makes us all family. And I think that's one of the enduring things that keeps us all going, not only through, you know, COVID, but obviously through situations like you.
I'm very big on listening to people and helping people, and I want to be that advocate that, you know, people like you guys and Donna, who works with me, Donna helps my Facebook page, and the Brown brothers, who do a lot of the stuff on Facebook. They run about 20 something Facebook pages for different people. If it gets it out there for me or helps somebody else, that means a lot.
We want to raise awareness of the fact that there is more people than there are kidneys or there are organs right now. And obviously to make sure that people know they can volunteer. Obviously, we've spoken to Will, who was a donor, and now we're speaking to you, who's you know, potentially a recipient, and we want to make sure that we can marry all of those people up.
You know, I think community is everything here, and our community, and we're all part of many communities. You know, the EMS community is certainly strong. Reed has a strong local community. Unfortunately, his family members are not medically eligible for a variety of reasons to donate. And most recently, they've been really searching for a direct donor, meaning someone who directly matches Reed, who would be a donor at the hospital where he is a patient. But I think what we can offer through EMS Gives Life with our relationships with organ organizations is a more nationwide search. Reed is a patient at the Cooperman Barnabas Medical Center, and that's a National Kidney Registry member hospital. And that what that buys Reed and any potential donors is a lot, both support and protection. So a donor can be anywhere in the country. The donor can probably be tested and even have the surgical procedure, if approved, closer to home at a National Kidney Register Medical Center. There is wage reimbursement, lodging and travel support. There's protection for donors that they would be prioritized on the unlikely event that they ever needed a kidney. So there's really a lot out there that can support donors if they choose to support Reed. Everybody always talks about matching with kidneys. And obviously when you receive an organ, it has to be matched to you. But in terms of donors, what Reed needs is a healthy person who is willing to donate on his behalf. Whether the kidney goes directly to him or not, he will directly benefit. So that allows someone to donate on their schedule, closer to home, more conveniently. We just need someone out there who sees Reed's story and thinks, I can help. This is something I can do. They always see the term share a spare, right? Most of us, unlike Reed, have two healthy kidneys and we only need one. You know, this is really an opportunity for someone to truly change someone's life and give the gift of life.
I think this particular tagline's already gone with some major industry, but if you're out there, just do it.
Yes.
It's already been taken by somebody, but I'll say it again. Just
That's
do it.
That's a good one.
Absolutely.
It's a good one. But, you know, if somebody has questions or explore, we're happy to answer. We're happy to connect them. There's an organization called the National Kidney Donation Organization who we work with, and they offer donor-to-donor mentoring services. So that is people who have been donors can talk to potential donors, and that is really firsthand information. You know, even if someone is considering, like, could this be for me? Is this the right thing for me? Let's talk about it, because maybe it is.
So, Reed, if that one person, that one match is out there listening to this, what would you say to them right now?
I don't know what my words, that match that's out there. Thank you isn't enough. Thank you isn't enough to that to whoever that is. But know that you'll save my life, and I'm going to pay it forward the rest of my life to help other people.
That's an amazing comment. And a friend of mine was blown up by an IED in Afghanistan, and he now lives his life as a thank you because of the village. And what I mean by that is the amount of EMS professionals, hospital professionals, surgeons, etc., that were part and parcel, and rehab and physios, and it goes on and on and on, that took to get him from the battlefield to where he is today. And so, you know, living his life as a thank you, I think, is an absolutely noble thing to do. I hope when we talk in the future that you've gone through the donation, the reception phase, the operation phase, and we're now into that living life as a thank you, because I think that would be that's going to be an excellent story to carry on with as well. Christine, just go back and remind us of all the emails, the social media sites, all the ways that we can get in touch with EMS Gives Life, and all the ways that we can read about Reed's story.
So I think the number one way, rather than say all the ways, emsgiveslife.org is our website. And there is links to our Facebook page, our Twitter. There will be a link to Reed's story directly. There's a link to all of what we do, as well as to the other organizations we work with that offer the different protections we've talked about. So it really is the one stop that's the easiest to get to all the various avenues of information. So that's where I would direct everybody. And we can go from there. You can also hit contact and email us. And while it's a contact form, it does go directly to me, and I will answer you directly. So if you want to just chat, if you want to talk about it more, just shoot us a message.
And actually, you mentioned One Stop. That segues perfectly into, if you also listen to EMS One's EMS One Stop with me, Christine, and Will Lindbergh. Of course, we told Will's story that really started all of this off.
Right. Will's he was an EMS paramedic who donated a portion of his liver, saving the life of a 3-year-old boy. And that was really the inspiration for EMS Gives Life. And really what sparked the notion that EMS can support EMS, and that this is life-changing for both donor and recipient. The donor is, all the reports of donors, they say that this was life-changing in all the best ways. Obviously, for recipients, it saves their life. But donors, I think, find it to be sort of surprisingly life-changing in a positive way.
Excellent. And in terms of education, EMS Gives Life is also proud to be the sponsor of the EMS Educator podcast. And so we're using that platform just to get the word out there and to draw everybody back into the website to read about noble causes such as you, Reed.
I think it's really hard when you're doing these podcasts to really get somebody's personality across. But from the moment I spoke with Reed, you know, his commitment to EMS was so pronounced. And, you know, just the notion that, you know, he was advised to go on disability and decided to stay on board and work, even though he's really quite sick, as much as he doesn't mention that, and help his fellow EMS providers through the COVID pandemic. I think it's a testament to his commitment to the community.
As with all podcasts, we've already been talking for half an hour. And so it's probably time to wrap up. Reed, thank you so much for joining us. And again, we're going to follow your story. We'll come back and talk some more. We're going to follow you on the website and online, and hopefully chart some great progress as certainly as the charity picks up, and obviously those that are looking out there, looking after you, help get you what you need. Christine, so final thoughts from you.
I think my final thought is that we really just need one person to say, I'm going to be an organ donor, I'm going to be a kidney donor, and to do that on Breed's behalf. And you can be anywhere in the country, you can be almost any age, as long as you're healthy to donate, it will be a success story. And so I hope someone steps up and thinks that this is them.